Being alone in the dark is always unsettling, no matter where you are. But imagine being on the top floor of a spooky old theater. You're on the converted mezzanine level, few windows, tight corridors, and low ceilings. It feels like the halls are squeezing you tight as you travel deeper and deeper into the attic space. You're shutting off the lights behind you as you go, leaving a trail of inky black night behind you. You begin to see faces, disembodied hands and eyes around every corner. The wallpaper itself seems to be creeping and crawling as creatures move within the illustrations. You know that it's all in your imagination. There isn't a child ahead of you. It's a rack full of costumes. There isn't a lady in white in the corner. It's a dress form in a wedding gown. There is not a man hanging from his neck at the ceiling. It's a light fixture, reflecting a ghostly iridescent blue from the gels within it. But that shadow ahead of you is new. Alien. Blacker than the rest. And it's solid, yet fleshy. And even worse, it's moving right to you. Hello and welcome to episode 12 of The West London Witch, a podcast where we share stories about those moments where we find ourselves very much not alone. Today is a very special episode because it not only takes place in my hometown of Bakersfield, California, but I also get to share with you a story about the building that shaped me into the person I am today. When Emily and Jacques Thoreau opened the Spotlight Theater in 1999, I was just 8 years old. I had been studying theater with Jacques and Emily since the age of five, but the Spotlight Theater was the first space where I actually began to perform. When the theater was first being transformed from a stationery shop into the playhouse it is today, my parents and I spent our weekends volunteering at the theater, painting stairs, building sets, and sorting costumes. I grew up in that space. I spent every day of the week rehearsing, learning dances, working on songs, and watching the most beautiful performances in that 99-seat theater. The theater itself is equal parts regal and intimate, big enough to stage large musicals like Les Miserables, yet small enough to really feel King Lear's madness or Antigone's grief. The theater is situated in the historic downtown Bakersfield and was built in 1904. It was originally Hayden Furniture Company, but it has had many tenants call it home over the years. It is a beautiful second Renaissance revival style building that has a basement, ground floor, and mezzanine level. The theater itself is on the ground floor, with the basement used for dressing rooms, rehearsal spaces, and a large dance studio. The upper mezzanine level houses the costume alley, offices, and the lighting booth. It is a huge building with lots of little rooms and strange small spaces. It's very odd that it has such a large basement because of all the earthquakes we have in California. And as roomy as the first floor is, the mezzanine level is tight, close, very dark, with low ceilings and lots of exposed pipes and air ducts. It is a really spooky part of the building. Definitely not somewhere I'd like to be alone, and especially not at night. Yet, lucky for us, that is the exact situation actress and former box office manager Angela Ponsetta found herself in one evening. So grab your flashlights, friends, because we're about to journey into one of the spookiest attics in all of Bakersfield, California. I'm Rebecca Strazina, and this is The West London Witch. Episode 12, The Spotlight Theater.
A few years ago, I was performing in a play in downtown Bakersfield, and at the theater, it was on 19th Street, and it's located in one of the most oldest and historic parts of Bakersfield, California. We were at rehearsal, and we were having a great rehearsal. There was lots of fun and laughter. We were actually performing a play about Robin Hood, so you can imagine how much fun we were having. So anyway, after rehearsal, the director gave us our notes and he said, "By the way, guys, our costume designer is here. So I would like all of you to go up into the attic, meet with the costume designer to try on your clothes. And then as you finish with her, go ahead and head out of the theater. And when the last actor is out, I'll lock up and we'll call it a day." We all said, "Sure, that's great." So, of course, we all took our turns going up the stairs all the way up to the attic of this old building to meet with our wonderful costume designer to try on our clothes. Well, I ended up drawing the lucky straw of being the last actor to go upstairs. So as I headed upstairs and met with the costume designer, we tried on my clothes. Everything fit perfectly, and she was super happy that it was so quick and done, that she said, "Hey, do you mind locking up the attic, making sure all the doors are closed and turning off the lights so that I can go ahead and head out?" I said, "Sure, no problem." So I put on my clothes and I'm gathering my bag and I'm getting everything going. I'm going around and I'm shutting off the lights, and I go to head to the stairs to take me out of the attic, when all of a sudden I saw something in the far corner of the attic. I looked and just thought it was my eyes playing a trick on me. But as I stared, I saw a figure. I couldn't really make out what the figure was, but I knew that I didn't want to leave the attic without knowing what it was I was looking at. So I just stood at the top of the stairs and I just stared across the attic into that corner. And all of a sudden, the figure moved closer to me, and it was a man. But it wasn't just a regular man. It was a Chinese man, and he was wearing incredibly old, tattered-looking clothing. The thing is, he was just staring at me. He didn't move his mouth. He didn't even blink his eyes. He just stood there staring. The first thought that came into my head was, a homeless man must have broken into the building while we were trying on our costumes and made his way upstairs. So I looked at him and I said, "Can I help you?" And he just kept staring at me. And all of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. My entire body just started to break out in goosebumps. I could feel every single hair on the back of my neck stand up. And I realized there just was something not right about this man.
Angela went into total flight mode. She bolted down the stairs and burst out of the building. The rest of the cast and the director were waiting for her outside.
When they saw me come through, I started screaming at them, "You guys have to call 911. You have to call 911 right now." the director grabbed me and goes, "Angela, calm down. What happened?" And I said, there's a homeless man. There's a homeless man in the attic."
The director was super confused. He told Angela that because it was a closed rehearsal, the theater had been locked throughout the entire evening. He had unlocked the door to let the actors out, Angela being the last one, and then was to lock it again. There's no way that there could have been any homeless people or anyone else in the building. But Angela was persistent. She insisted that there was absolutely a man up in the attic, and they had to call 911 and tell them what they had seen. The director, although was very skeptical, I guess there was a possibility that maybe someone had snuck in earlier or had been camping out there. So he wanted to get a description from Angela as to what the man looked like so they could make an accurate report to the police.
He was this old-looking Chinese man, had really tattered clothing on. And as soon as I said those words, the director grabbed me and he said, Angela, we don't have to call 911. It's okay." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Angela, I'm going to lock up the theater and we're going to go. But I promise you, everything is fine. Sweetie, I don't know how to tell you this, but you saw a ghost." I did not see a ghost. That was as clear as day. I was looking at him. I could see his eyes. I could see his mouth, his ears, his head. I could see his whole body. He was moving. That was not a ghost. That was a person. You have to call the police." "No, Angela, I promise you, it was a ghost. So we're going to lock up the theater and everything's fine."
Angela couldn't stop thinking about the man in the attic. He was haunting. And not necessarily because he was scary, but because he had a certain quality about him she couldn't quite understand. Some sort of heavy emotion attached to his presence.
I could never stop thinking about that old Chinese man that I saw in the attic. So a few years later, I ended up getting hired at that same theater to be their box office manager. And I was contacted by a member of the Kern Paranormal Society, and they were interested in ghost hunting at the theater. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to let them do it because I want to see if they can find my old Chinese man. I told them the story and they said, absolutely, let's see if we can find him. So the one night they came in, and they did their investigation, and then they went back to their offices to run all of the data that they had gathered that night. And sure enough, they did find my ghost. But the difference is, this time, they didn't find him in the attic. They found him in the basement. And there was a particular spot in the basement that they found him. You see, this building that's on 19th Street in Bakersfield, California, if you know your history of our town, there was an underground tunnel system that was built, I believe, during the late 1800s. And it was actually built by Chinese immigrants that came for new opportunities.
The Bakersfield tunnels are an interesting part of local history. Growing up, the legend was always that the tunnels were used as opium dens, or secret passageways used to run drugs or booze during Prohibition. But the real use for them is a lot less glamorous. When these Chinese immigrants came to town, they lived in two different parts of downtown Bakersfield, creating two separate Chinatowns. You see, they were actually two separate groups of immigrants from different areas that spoke different dialects. They weren't friendly with one another and did not mix. However, in order to beat the serious Bakersfield heat, they tunneled below the city to have somewhere to cool off. After a while, these basements began to connect and create a sort of tunnel system. There was plenty of illegal activity going on. There were opium dens and gambling houses, but they were all done above ground. It is rumored that when there was a bust, the offenders would hide in the tunnels, but it's unclear as to whether or not that actually happened.
Well, in this theater, one of the entrances to these underground tunnels is located in our basement, which is where they found my old Chinese ghost. They came back to me because they were actually able to tell me who he was and why he was still haunting that theater. They told me that the reason he is there is because he and his family helped build these underground tunnel systems. And in that particular spot, there was a cave-in, and his wife and his child were killed in the cave-in. They found out that the reason why he haunts the theater is he cannot leave until he finds his wife and child. He doesn't want to leave until he finds them, and that's why he is there. As soon as I heard that, I just started crying. This man is simply just trying to find his family, and he's lost in our theater. So now every time I go to the theater, I'll go down to the basement, and I will go to where that entrance to the underground tunnel is, and I say hello to him. And I tell him that I know he's there and that I pray that one day he's going to find his wife and child and they will be reunited. I just don't want him to feel like he's alone.
As if this story couldn't get any more upsetting than a father searching for his wife and child. At the same time the paranormal investigation was going on, the city of Bakersfield was actually closing up and securing all of the tunnels. They in no way met California's strict building and earthquake codes. The builders had been working in the theater, closing off the entrance to that tunnel. And this poor man was standing by, watching them seal the tunnel up like a crypt.
I remember when I saw him in the attic, he just was so sad. The look on his face was not like he was going to hurt me. It was more of, you can see me. You see me. And then I think that's why he started coming more into view at me in the attic. Because there are so many people who walk around spotlight and there's ghosts everywhere. And a lot of the times they just refuse to see them or they don't acknowledge them. And a lot of them are just sad because they're alone. They're stuck. They can't move on to heaven. They can't move. And they're just stuck here. And they each have their own reasons on why they're there. And when I found that out, I don't blame him. If I lost my family, I couldn't leave not knowing that they weren't safe or, you know, I mean, what if they're there? What if they're trying to find me? And then, you know, he doesn't want to move on until he finds them.
After thinking about this for quite a while, I began to wonder if he himself knew he had passed. The psychics and the paranormal investigators were able to discern that the man knew his wife and daughter had died in the cave-in, but he said that he himself did not. But what if he did die in that accident, but he just doesn't know it? Maybe he thinks he survived and is searching for his wife and his child in the rubble. And now he's stuck in that strange wrinkle of fabric of being between the living and the dead. Do you have a spooky story you'd like to share? I would love to hear it. Drop me an email at thewestlondonwitch@gmail.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at The West London Witch. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review, and come follow us for additional content on Instagram and Facebook. I'm going to be posting loads of photos from my time at the Spotlight Theater and lots of photos of the theater itself and the spooky areas we talked about in today's show. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. The West London Witch is created by me, Rebecca Strazina. Our sound designer and production magician is the incredible Danny Cross. Our theme music was bespokely written and performed by the wickedly talented Kyle Hall. Our cover art is the beautiful collaboration between Lizzie Wilson and Jake Bowser. Special thanks to Miss Sinead Bowers, our quality control and biggest cheerleader. And thank you to you, all of our listeners all over the world. These are your stories. Thank you for sharing them with us.